You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner is here, and today he looks skyward for this installment of History Matters.
May 6th marked the 75th anniversary of the best-known aviation disaster in history. The giant German airship LZ-129, the Hindenburg, burst into flames as it attempted to land at Lakehurst, New Jersey. In about half a minute, it was transformed from the largest object ever to grace the air into a molten pile of incinerating metal. The crash also abruptly ended an era of commercial air travel and spacious luxury between Europe and North America. The Hindenburg was such a phenomenon that the press always flocked around it to watch. Cameras were rolling, and a radio broadcast was being taped that evening. It told of the tragedy in real time. Herbert Morrison was on the scene for radio station WLS in Chicago. Overwhelmed with what he was seeing, the usually taciturn Morrison wailed, "Oh, the humanity!" Listeners in Chicago heard his account that night, and the rest of the nation was able to see the newsreel footage the following day at movie theaters. Most people who have heard of the disaster believe that everyone aboard died. This is not true. In fact, if you watch the film of the crash, you will see people incredibly running through the flames and others jumping as the great Leviathan struck the ground and began to sag as it was engulfed in an inferno. The Hindenburg carried 97 passengers and crew on that voyage. 62 survived, although some had injuries. The 36 deaths included 22 crew members, 13 passengers, and one unfortunate ground crew member who could not get out of the way. Another interesting fact is that the Hindenburg carried airmail, and 176 pieces survived. 4 days later, when the wreckage was cool enough to be examined, this mail was sorted and delivered to the recipients. If the Hindenburg had not been created by Nazi Germany, the accident would probably not have occurred. It might have crashed, but it would not have exploded as it did. Another spectacular crash preceded the Hindenburg. There was a heavier-than-airship race going on among Britain, Germany, and the United States. The huge British entry into this race was the R-101. All of the airship designers understood that one of two gases, hydrogen or helium, could be used to lift these craft. The hydrogen-filled R-101 crashed, and most of its crew was lost to the fire rather than to the impact. The Hindenburg's designer, Hugo Eckner, wanted to switch the airship over to helium, which was much less flammable. The United States, which had a monopoly on helium, refused to export it to Nazi Germany, fearing that it would be used for military purposes. After the disaster, the American press and public opinion pushed for the export of helium. Germany began working on the LZ-130, the Graf Zeppelin. It was designed to use helium, but when Germany annexed Austria in 1938, hydrogen had to be used. Today, we tend to be jaded about news accounts and the accompanying hype. You can't see local news without the word alert being flashed in bright red or manufactured sounds. In 1937, the Hindenburg, before and after its crash, was real news. Even during the Great Depression, airship travel promised many things. The newly constructed Empire State Building sports an impressive tower at its highest point. Today, it carries telecommunications transmitters. In 1937, it was designed to capture the Hindenburg for an elegant landing on the tallest building in the world. Look back to that May in 1937 and ponder what it must have been like to travel on the Hindenburg and remember that its history matters.